This morning's public reading of God's inspired, preserved word is found in Luke chapter 6 this morning, verses 37 to 45. Luke chapter 36, verses 37 to 45. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also was merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be meted to you again. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceive it not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. For every tree is known by its fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Please be seated, and may God choose to bless his word. Beloved, there is a whole lot in here, and trying to package all this in a few minutes doesn't do justice to itself. However, those of you that are familiar with the scripture, this sounds awfully like the Sermon on the Mount, doesn't it? Well, we do know that Dr. Brother Physician Luke was not present when the Sermon on the Mount was given, as it's fully recorded in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. Okay, he was not present during the public ministry of Jesus. He doesn't get saved, nor is he brought into the ministry with the Apostle Paul until sometime later, when you begin to pick up the book of Acts, especially Paul's second journey is when Dr. Brother Luke comes into the picture as far as time is concerned. So Luke is basically gathering his information, as he tells us in chapter 1, by talking to eyewitnesses, those who were there. Those who saw the public life of Jesus unfold before their eyes. They sat with Jesus. They ate with him. They laughed with him. They cried with him. They heard his sermons. They saw him perform feats of power in raising the dead and cleansing the leper, causing the paralytic man to jump and hop and skip with two new sets of legs, if you will. And so Luke is extracting from those who were eyewitnesses who saw all these things in their own eyes and in their own ears. And it seems to be a little bit disjointed, doesn't it? As I was reading this, I'm pretty sure the Sermon on the Mount was in the back, and you're saying that seems to be somewhat out of order. And then towards the end, he talks about this idea of judging, right? You go all the way back, look at verse 37. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Okay, that remotely touches Matthew chapter 7, right? And then you come all the way down to verses 39 and following, he expands the narrative here, pointing back to the discourse that's normally found in Matthew chapter 7, the first four or five verses, where everybody in the world can quote Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Judge not, lest ye be judged. If you begin to get too close to someone's pet sins, they'll automatically throw up Matthew 7, verse 1 in your face. Who are you to judge me? Who are you to tell me what to do? Who are you to tell me where I ought to go to church? Who are you to tell me I need to be reading my Bible and to love my wife and to love my husbands and to nurture my children? Who do you think you are? You're not God in my life. Who are you to judge and cast boulders into my glass house? And they'll quote Matthew 7, verse 1, but they don't quote the rest of the passage, do they? Well, we're going to examine that this morning. Look at verse 40. The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Now, the word perfect here never implies sinless perfection. We're not teaching that it's possible for a child of God to reach a particular point in their pilgrimage as a believer and cease to sin, 100%. Pure motives, pure thought, white as snow. Now, that's the goal in our sanctification, to be as holy and as perfect as we can. But the word here that is used implies maturity, a full age, where in essence sin becomes the exception and righteousness and holiness in the life of a professed believer becomes the norm. Okay? And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceive it not the beam that is in thine eye? So Jesus uses an illustration of two people. Okay? One person has a mote, or like a speck of sawdust. And you know that when you get something in your eye, even if it's a little piece of something, maybe an eye crusty or a grain of sand, it can drive you bananas, doesn't it? You rub, you flush, you put your face under the sink and you run the water, or you got a little contraption where you can kind of flush out your eye and you blink and eventually your eye gets all red, sometimes bloodshot with all the rubbing. You can really go bananas when you get something caught in your eye, right? But then you got the other person in this equation who has a 2x4 coming out of his eye and just dragging on the ground. And in this illustration of judge not lest ye be judged, okay, Christ is saying the person that has the beam or the 2x4 coming out of his eye has the greater sin problem, but he or she can't see it. And all of us can become blind to our own sins. But this person has a keen perception on the piece of sawdust in his brother's eye and goes out of his way to be judge, jury, and executioner on the brother. He plays the role of the Holy Spirit, even though he got this 2x4 coming out of his own eye. He got this laundry list of issues that needs to be addressed, but he's quick to point out the sawdust in another man's life. And he tries desperately to nurture and to rehabilitate this poor brother with that sawdust in his eye. And what does Jesus say to such a person? Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye? Why are you looking so intently on the sawdust or the grain of sand, but perceivest not the 2x4 that's in your own eye? That's the problem with this issue of judging. Beloved, Christians are to judge. When it comes to picking a pastor, don't you make a judgment on whether or not the person is fit for your church, whether he measures up to the qualifications of 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1? Does he have the character? Does he have the gifts? Does he have the ability to take a church and to under-shepherd them? In the morning, don't you judge what you're going to eat? Is it going to be a poached egg with toast, or do you want an omelet with a whole bunch of crispy bacon? You make it a judgment call. When you go to the closet to put on your clothes, you're making a judgment call what you're going to wear for that day. If you're going to go to a board meeting, do you put on a pullover shirt and a pair of holy jeans? I hope not. But if you're going to go out there and do some yard work, that holy pair of jeans and that pullover shirt may be the best thing you need to do to get dirty and sweaty. Get my drift? When it comes to shopping and you pick a certain food chain to buy your groceries, you've made a judgment, right? When you fall in love, don't you make a judgment on how beautiful that person is or how handsome they are and you want to spend the rest of your life with that person? You just made a judgment call. But in this case here that Jesus is pointing out, the judgment is flawed because the guy with the beam in his eye hasn't even addressed his own issues before he starts playing Holy Spirit on somebody else. Verse 42 is the kicker. Either how canst thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of that speck of sand that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the 2x4 that's in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite! Now notice, cast first the 2x4 out of thine own eye, and everybody wants to stop there. There's no period, there's a comma. And then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. So what is Jesus saying when it comes to judgment? Judge thyself first before you attempt to judge and help another. So those who quote Matthew 7:1, oh, the Bible says, judge not lest ye judge. Who are you to judge in my life and say this about my lifestyle? They just know one verse in the Bible and that's it. And you need to come back and show them the rest of the passage, like I've been forced to do sometimes. And then he says in verses 43 to 45, he talks about the comparison between a good tree and then a corrupt tree. So now we become a fruit inspector. We need to judge someone's fruits. If someone claims to be a believer, but there's no evidence of that new life, this person shows no interest in biblical things, has no love for the Savior, dodges the bullet when it comes to church attendance, dodges the bullet in not showing up for a prayer meeting, dodges the bullet on the weekly Bible study that's open up free of charge at the church or in someone's home, you never see them. Now, they might show their face on Easter Sunday and maybe on Christmas service, and that's it, or a funeral plus a wedding. But they claim to be a Christian. Well, where's the fruit? Where is the evidences of a life that has been transformed and changed? So that's not judging. But again, before you look at another person's life and begin to put the yardstick of God's word next to them, you and I need to put the yardstick first in front of ourselves. And when we get ourselves in alignment with God, then and only then do you have the right to judge another. And you judge them not to condemn them, but you judge them to restore them back to spiritual health. Well, may the Lord choose to bless his word.